And I guess we have to talk about LeBron and the Miami Heat. Goodness gracious. What a run.
Rolling.
Hey, big surprise. They're super good.
Yeah. You got the best player and maybe the best sidekicks in the league, and your role players are playing their role. They're doing good.
What'd you give up for Lent, Joe?
I don't know.
Can't talk about it? Fair enough. Okay.
If
it was yelling,
it would give away my debauchery and sinful ways.
I thought you were going to tell me you gave up yelling at your players.
No, that can't.
You're failing miserably, by the way. You're not holding up your end of the bargain if that's the case. Easter's right around the corner, though, and got to have that ham, right?
You know, we took over at Corky's. We took over Phil's Hams, which was a great family business for years, and we were fortunate enough to be able to incorporate them with what we're doing, and so we're going to be selling bone-in hams for $6.59 a pound. And originally, those were $7.29 a pound. So, as Tommy would say, this is a great deal. And with Easter coming up March 31st, ordering Easter hams from Corky's is easy and delicious. I'm just telling you that right now.
I'm all about that. How many pounds of ham do you need to feed the Klein family?
You want to take the bone out.
Okay.
Because the bone – well, we got two dogs, so they fight over the bone. So.
Okay.
But this promotion is just for a limited time only, so call Corky's today, 954-7427, and they'll hook you up with all your Easter needs, man. We can handle it.
All right. What's your go-to dish for other than ham for Easter?
Man, I like turkey. I mean, I like kind of making Easter the halfway point to Thanksgiving.
Of the spring.
The redo of Thanksgiving. So I you know, and we do Corky, you know, at Corky's we do turkeys too.
There you go, Joe. I like that. Good plug.
But so I mean I like kind of making it a Thanksgiving, like you said, a spring version of Thanksgiving.
I like that. Well, you need to have like a ham, turkey, like pulled pork sandwich. That could be really dangerous.
The triple decker.
Oh, I love it.
Yep.
I think we're onto something. I do have to say, you know, I do most of the cooking in my house, and I do most of the shopping in my house, too, because I like to pick up my own stuff. But I can't help it when I walk by the freezer section, and they've got all those turkeys in there, and I can't help but think to myself, aw, poor turkeys. You're going to be in there till Thanksgiving. And it's like, nobody makes it. Nobody in July goes, I'm going to roast a turkey today. And then, you know, and it's good all year round, but we do it once a year.
I mean, I because of my kids and everything, I like to cook them, you know, a couple times and then just slice it up, put it in the bag and, you know.
Great.
Do that. But
until it gets the gelatin on it, and then you have to throw it out.
Right.
Or maybe you can get one more eat off of it after that. But
when I walk, as you walk by, I feel sorry for them. I walk by them and go, what a bunch of turkeys.
It's the cheesiest line of all time. Okay. So Sun Belt Conference Tournament, we're going to be live there tomorrow. I'm excited about it. The great news is for you guys and for the women, you don't have to play tomorrow. There will be teams on the court tomorrow, though, and the games start at noon, I believe, for the women. Let me double-check that. Yes, it'll be Louisiana Monroe and Florida Atlantic tomorrow. And then on Saturday, the games start at 11:30, and Arkansas State's women are going to be involved in that. The men's games are late, basically. That's the deal. The women play early, the men play late. And for the men tomorrow, we've got
North Texas and Lafayette.
Yep. Florida Atlantic and Troy. And Western and Monroe. Yeah. And I cannot remember the last time Western would have been in a position to play on day one. They almost got out of that. But
last year.
Okay. And then they made a run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we went down. We had a bye last year. And I remember we went down. I believe they played FAU again. Now, they're not playing them this year. But
right.
So, and then they got on that run and won the tournament.
Do you guys ever think about throwing games at the end of the season so you can play all 4 days? Because you've had a little more luck playing on the first day of the Sun Belt than you have getting byes. I remember being at North Texas and ULR was the one seed a few years ago and lost in the first game to Florida International.
Right.
And, you know, the year you guys went to the tournament, you guys had to run all 4 days.
Well, that's the thing about the Sun Belt, and maybe a little different this year than in the past because middle has kind of separated itself. But from, you know, since I've been here, the difference between the top three teams and the bottom three teams is very, very minute.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you're not at your best and you're not playing your best and you're not playing with a little anger, a little attitude, you can lose first game or you can win four straight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I think again this year you got a clear-cut favorite, somebody that's a little bit a notch above everybody else, whereas in the past, that hasn't been the case at all.
Well, the good news is that you guys don't have to play them in the first round. Would have to play them in the second round if you guys can get by FIU, a team that you split with this year, about the same margin, home and away.
Right.
And, of course, they caught you guys when you were sort of trying to figure it out there late in the season, did right the ship, and we talked about it last time you were on, catching a little momentum going into the tournament. But let's talk first about the Florida International matchup.
Well, I mean, it's a tale of two games. The first game, we beat them by 12 up here, scored 88 points, shot 59% from the field goal for the game. We shot, I think, I want to say 28 free throws, made 24, shot 14 threes, made six. Went down there, shot 39%, had 22 turnovers, went 2 for 22 from the three-point line, shot 15 free throws, made six again, and shot 39% from the floor. So defensively, both games we were decent. Even down there in the second game, you know, they scored 65 points, but we had to do some fouling and some things late to try to do some things. So we held them right around 60, which is a good number.
Mm-hmm.
Offensively, we were terrible. I mean, we have to play with an attitude of and when we're at our best, you know, we shoot 14 threes, right around 14 threes. When we start getting above that number, we're you can see our free throw attempts go down dramatically. You know, we have to attack people. We got good size, good skill people inside. Our guards are good with the ball, driving the ball. You know, we've got to create against FIU situations where we throw it in there and they got to give help because they're a little bit undersized, so that, you know, we feel that if our guys again play with a little bit of anger to them, posting up, you know, physical, get in there deep, that they're going to have to send help. Therefore, when we kick it out, now you got guys running at our guards. That's when you can swing the ball, drive the ball, get the ball into the paint again and cause real problems. Where you get in problems with FIU, as we did down there, you make one or two passes, take the first three available, you know, now you're asking for it. And that's what we did the second game.
That's young team basketball, unfortunately. We see that pretty regularly.
Right. Somebody was asking me about Arkansas and Missouri the other night, you know, and I said, well, it looked eerily familiar, unfortunately, to our FIU game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not to the degree that we got beat the same way, but I mean, just offensively, we looked. If you were a casual fan sitting up in the stands, you'd be like, man, those guys are terrible. Nobody coaches them. You know, everything I heard everybody saying about Mike and his staff, which is ridiculous. But I sit there and they start asking me about it, and I said, well, if you'd have saw our FIU game, you'd have said the same thing.
Yeah.
So I mean, and that's with a young team. That's just how it is sometimes, and it's very frustrating. And but we've got to play. I heard a great line that I really love from Urban Meyer. Angry staffs and angry teams win, you know, and that's the way we got to go. We got to go into this tournament angry, mad, upset, you know, and play with a chip, with the anger.
You angry, Joe?
I'm going to be really angry about 2:00
okay.
when film starts.
All right.
So I got a lot of clips from that debacle down in Florida that we're going to invite them to embrace the challenge.
I understand. Well, there was an edge for everybody, coaches and players, as usual in the ASU game the other day. 7 technical fouls. It's the most I've ever seen in a game. As I said earlier in the show, last night there were 5 guys ejected in a fight between Cal and Stanford, and there were only 6 technical fouls in that game. So it just kind of goes to show you, there were also 59 fouls called in the game, and afterwards people were like, oh, man, the refs really sucked, huh? And I said, no, but it was everybody was on each other. It was the most, you know, hotly contested, tightly guarded game. You're going to get that. It is, I mean, we knew it was a good rivalry, but the other night, I mean, it really went the extra mile.
That's what happens. Again, you have the proximity of Cal and Stanford. You have the and I'm not making Cal and Stanford like Arkansas ASU, but it's familiar
because
your proximity is close. Your fan bases rub arms with each other every day. We drive around here.
Trade insults every day.
Yeah, you'll see bumper stickers here. They see bumper stickers there. You know, you recruit the same guys. You're fighting for the same advertisement. You're fighting. You know, everything is the same. You know, they got billboards down here, and you know, and I mean, it's just because we're the melting pot of the state down here, and so, you know, everything is a contest with ASU. Well, that goes over into the court, and. You know, and then you get guys, you know, we have guys from Little Rock who are up there. Some of them wanted to be here. Some of them we wanted here. They went there. Some of them wanted to be here and ended up there. So you have that dynamic as well. And so it just, you know, it's every time we play them, it's primed. I mean, yeah. It's just primed to be a hard, nasty, physical game, which it, you know, almost 80% of the time is.
Well, you talked about it. I mean, a tale of, you know, two games with FIU, same deal with ASU. I mean,
right.
fared much better well, here at home.
We weren't a young team. We talked about it. We showed film on it ad nauseum. Tried to explain the rivalry to our seven freshmen. How, you know, they've got three seniors. This is their last go-around against Arkansas Little Rock. You know, we had beaten them three times in a row, twice last year. They were going to be on edge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, just probably from hearing it and yapping it and, you know, somebody, you know, and we told our guys, you know, this is – they're going to come out swinging, and you got to be ready to be the one to throw the first punch. And we were down 8-0 first 2 minutes of the game, and, you know, it was never really much of a contest. And that's a credit to them. I mean, they were ready to go. It was a credit to their staff. Coach Brady had them fired up and ready. They played mean and nasty, and we played like we were going to a camp out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we got exactly what we deserved.
Guys ran out of marshmallows early.
Yeah, yeah.
What about they did beat Middle Tennessee, the only team in the league to do it this year. What, in your opinion, is the formula? Obviously, you know, you can try to map it all day. It's a hard thing to do, certainly, because not many people have done it this year in the league or outside of the league. But what if you guys do get to that point? I know you're squarely focused on Florida International, but if you get in that position the second game, what would you have to do to improve on your first go-around against them?
Well, you know, you have to – you can't play weak. You know, they are a physical team that gets after you defensively. They're going to pressure you all over the floor. They're very good. You know, they're among the leaders in all defensive categories in the Sun Belt. They're 1-2. I don't think they're – below three, rebounding, you know, block shots. I mean, just field goal percentage, you know, three-point field goal percentage and so on and so forth. And then offensively, they're among the leaders in field goal percentage, rebound, offensive rebounding. So it's a physical team that gets the ball into the paint and prevents you from moving the ball and getting the ball where you want to go. And so you have to play a tough, physical, hard-nosed brand of basketball. You can't turn it over. You got to work the ball. You're not, you know, it's like we tell our guys all the time, you know, in practice, so they'll catch the ball and, you know, they'll shoot it and score on the first pass. And a saying that we always say is, you know, if that happens, like when we're doing dummy offense or something, we want to run it from side to side to side to side, and a guy will shoot it on the first pass. And we're like, you know, if that shot's there, that's great, and it's going to be a great night. But against Middle Tennessee, it's not going to be there.
Right.
You know, so you better – you know, be able to work the ball inside out, side to side, because you're not just going to come down and take somebody off the dribble and get an easy basket.
You guys improved 25 points from game to game against them, and of course part of that was the fact that you guys were at home as opposed
right.
to being down there. You were down quite a bit, did make a good comeback at the end of the game. Is it part of the learning curve with your group,
oh,
you think?
Or was it? You can't teach the physical part and the intensity that these younger guys are going to see against really good teams with good guards like Arkansas State, Middle Tennessee. You can't teach that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you hope that, you know, they can adjust as the game goes on, but against Middle Tennessee, it was the same scenario as Arkansas State. I mean, they came out and it was, you know, after the first 10 minutes, we were in trouble, and we weren't able to ride it or turn it or get things corrected, whereas here, you know, we were in trouble. We were able to get it more corrected and get back in the game, and had some very good opportunities late in the game that we didn't take advantage of that could have made it even better.
Again, UALR and Florida International, a 6 o'clock tip. Oh, that's the women. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Is that right?
No, we're 6.
Yeah, 6 o'clock. Okay, that is right. All right. And then the men for Arkansas State play way late, the 9 o'clock game. Talk to me real quick, and then I want to move on to some other things, but the dynamic of playing that first day against maybe a little bit lesser opponent and getting a little bit of the acclimation to the tournament play, and I guess I don't know if there is much of a mindset to that, but we've seen teams that don't play that first day have their moments, unfortunately, on that second day versus, yeah, getting that bye the first round.
I mean, it's a catch-22. I mean, you can look at it. I mean, either way you want to look at it. I mean, you can look at it as you get out there and you get involved in the tournament early. The wait is over, the anxiety's over, the anticipation's over. You get out there and you're playing and you win. So now the next night your jitters and things are not as severe as maybe the first night. Mm-hmm. And so there's that, but you could also lose the first night.
Yeah.
So,
well, you guys are lucky because you get a bye, plus you're playing a team that hasn't played a game before. So that's an interesting deal, too.
That's probably
the ideal, right?
I like that.
Yeah.
Like last year, you weren't as comfortable with that. But even last year, we had a 13-point lead with 10 minutes to go and blew it. So, I mean, there's at the end of the day, you got to play. I mean, you got to embrace it. The fact that it's one and done, you got to embrace the fact that you're going to play somebody that's desperate and just as desperate as you are in a win or go home situation. And instead of worrying about it and playing timid, you got to embrace it and go for it.
Let me get a quick check of the score, Big Baby, on the Arkansas women taking on Florida in the first round of the SEC women's tournament.
With 12-10 in the second half, 45-40 Arkansas.
All right. Thanks, Big Baby.
I like how he did that.
Oh, he's good. If Arkansas wins, they get Tennessee. So congratulations.
12:45 to go.
He's good.
Second half.
That's big announcer voice. I like it. Joe, there was a story this week that surprised some people. Blake Griffin got into it with Serge Ibaka under the hoop. Serge Ibaka took a shot at Blake's vulnerable region.
Manhood.
He hit him in the junk. And he got fined $25,000, but there was no suspension. Were you surprised? And if that had happened during your era, would Blake Griffin or whoever the player was have turned the other cheek like Blake decided to do?
No.
Just no. Was it a calculated deal? I mean, did he turn and look and aim, or did he just swing?
It was pretty clear.
I mean, I saw it briefly this morning. You know, and then some old boy, Wade, kicked somebody from Memphis.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, they showed. I think they were comparing the two. I mean,
okay.
He did a drop kick to some old guy.
Oh, that was a while back. Yeah, I do remember that. Yes. Yeah.
So
that was a cheap shot.
They were kind of comparing them both, but
I'd rather get a hand than a weight boot.
You know, everything was different.
Words to live by, Justin.
Everything was different back then. They didn't. I mean, they policed us. The NBA policed us, but there was more police yourself. You know, take care of your own, mm-hmm. police yourself, and so. The fines and the suspensions. You know, you had to throw down to get suspended.
I mean, yeah.
you had to throw a punch. I mean, that would, you know, I don't. There wouldn't have been a fine for that.
Really?
Yeah.
Rodman. I mean, not Rodman. Lambert.
I mean, it,
Lambert
no,
do
it,
that a little
I mean,
bit when you guys messed up.
Oh yeah. I mean, but I mean, if it was, I mean, but I mean, and seeing that you could say that. That guy can make an argument that, you know, his hand was coming
an accident,
down
yeah.
or whatever.
You know, okay, who was most likely to smack you in the junk? Just be honest. Who's the guy that was most likely to try to pull that kind of tactic?
That's a very uncomfortable question.
Joe, I'm just asking. Who's the most likely guy to pull some dirty, play dirty pool?
Lambert's an easy choice. I don't know that Ainge would go for the manhood, but he would.
This is an old teammate.
He would. Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
He had his moments.
I have to question his sanity. I saw him go nose to nose with Jordan one time in the finals. It didn't go well after that.
Yeah. Let a sleeping dog lie.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
There's certain people you go for. That's not one of them.
Who's the last guy you would ever go after? Because for me, Ray Allen would be on the list. And little J.J. Barea and Ray got into it.
You mean from a... like a fear standpoint? Or
No. From a good guy standpoint. Who's the last guy you could see yourself trying to get after?
I mean, Jason Kidd's a good dude.
Okay.
I mean, he plays hard. I mean, he's, you know. He's
what about
not,
Ray?
I don't know Ray that well.
Okay. I don't like Ray. I can see.
No, I like Ray.
J.J. Barea didn't like him. I don't know if you saw it. They got into it. And J.J. Barea. Little J.J. Barea. Sweet little J.J. Barea. I remember from when he was coming up.
First of all, J.J. Barea is not a little sweet sweet dude. Let's.
Well, look, he's 5'7". He's got to be mean. The thing is, he got
absolutely.
He got that's tossed why, out of the game.
That's what he how he plays and his attitude is. I mean, why he's if he didn't have that attitude at his size, he wouldn't be playing.
Yeah. I don't know how you go after Ray Allen. Then he walked off the court and he said some unflattering things. Did you see that? Totally uncalled for. You can't talk like that to Ray Allen, can you?
You can if you're playing against him. If he's torching you, you can.
He wasn't torching him anymore because he got thrown out. Oh, man. All right, we're going to talk about a number of different things. Matt's here to talk about what's going on with the station. Big Joe Klein's going to be in hopefully till the end of the show. We got to talk a little wrestling as well.
Right on.
My man Paul Mamorelli is here. I see him down the hall there. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on. They got something coming up as well. Go ahead. Give it to me, big fella.
Well, we are very excited to announce.
Talk about awkward phrases. That sounded really strange.
After following manhood.
Wow, I know. No doubt.